Now, here's the way I see it. We need a big finish to this epic. 2,000 Indians come screaming over the hill. Meanwhile, the whole cavalry troop, all 600 of them, trapped in the fort. There's this great battle. Bullets flying everywhere. Blood, gore, everything. What a finish to the picture.
But, J.B., we only got $3 left in the bank. How are we going to pay all them extras?
We don't have to, boy. In this scene, we'll use real ammunition. Real ammunition! Oh, what the hell?
Ladies and gentlemen, the last in the present series of Round the Horn.
After the show.
Yeah, I know. And hello and welcome to the show. Now, during this series, we've received several letters giving listeners' opinions on Round the Horn.
I like listening to Round the Horn because of the six naked ladies who stand silently in the background.
Well, since this is a radio show, I think this listener is allowing his imagination to run away with him. Anyhow, there are only five naked ladies.
Girls used to avoid me before I started listening to Round the Horn. They called me a Spotty Herbert and threw bread rolls at me. Now all this has changed. Glamorous women pursue me. I owe it all to Round the Horn.
Oh, thank you.
And winning 30,000 on the pool.
Your program is a boon to us busy mothers. I find the children are as good as gold if I threaten them with Round the Horn.
Well, it's good to know one can bring a little pleasure to the gallant housewives of the nation, particularly at my age. Now, as this is the last program in the present series, I'd like to pay tribute to many people behind the scenes who have made Round the Horn possible. First, a tribute to Mrs. Goose Strangler in the washroom. Always ready with a cheery word. It's one which unfortunately can't be mentioned. Now, a mention must be made, too, of another unsung hero of radio, without whose cooperation Round the Horn would never get on the air. I'm referring, of course, to the Director of Public Prosecutions. For Movie Go Wrong. Forward Smith.
Sir, Hornographic Productions, in association with Senna Lollies, the laxative on a stick, proudly present Kenneth Williams as the immortal white god of a lost African tribe. He, son of she, grand-nephew of them, distantly related to it.
And a good friend of Gordon's.
My name is Septimus Owl Fumbler Gammon Nudge Brandyfowl Inchmutter. Our story opens one day in the Explorers Club in London. I'd just finished a splendid lunch of hammerhead shark bonfam and was relaxing with a liqueur glass of camel.
That's Kummel.
Not at the Explorers Club, it isn't. An old friend approached. Ah, Major McWordle, I thought you'd gone to the Limpopo.
Yes, I did, but there was someone in there. I've just returned from Africa. I've seen what no white man has seen. I've trod where no white man has trod.
Well, you always were clumsy, weren't you? And he whipped out an old yellow papyrus and unrolled it on the table.
See this? It's a map describing the way to the lost city of Hausatagen.
Hausatagen?
I said it's a map describing the way to the lost... Oh, forget it. Legend has it that this is the home of a great white god with long, wavy, blonde hair.
That's me. I am George Aisha. But I'll come on later.
Yes, George Aisha. I'm going to lead an exposition to search for the great white god. Will you come, Septimus?
Well, very well, but are you sure you know the way?
Of course. I know Africa like the back of my hand. We'll start here at the knuckle, down through this hairy bit, and turn left at the mole.
And so, the expedition began. We soon met up with a dark-skinned native. How far is it to the Zambezi?
I don't know, man. This bus only goes as far as gold is green.
Now, perhaps this is a good moment to introduce the other members of the expedition.
As well as George Aisha, I'm also playing Hugo Grott. Millionaire playboy, world champion, underwater unicyclist, fellow of the Institute of Elizabethan Whimsies, entrepreneur in reconditioned horse meat, expert in Urdu mouth music, pink belt in butterfly wrestling. And backer of idiotic expedition.
You must tell us something about yourself one day.
And I am his wife, Ramona. Ramona Grott. They wrote a song about me.
Oh, don't tell me. Let me guess. I've got you under my skin.
Yes.
Oh, that's the one, yes.
And, of course, I'm McWhirtle, Major McWhirtle. I'm here because of my experience in Africa, which I'd prefer not to speak about. Especially as I've already sold the rights in the Sunday newspapers. Read my story entitled,
I Was an Underwater Nun for the FBI.
Anyway, we set sail for the Dark Continent, and as our boat neared the African shore, we could see rows of happy, welcoming black faces. They burst into song. Thank you. A tall, sunburned man stepped forward to greet us. He was wearing a solar topi and immaculate white ducks.
Hello. Excuse the ducks.
Of course.
I'll keep them for the eggs. I'm the district commissioner.
Ah, commissioner, I want to go into the bush.
Well, if you must, you must.
Night falls quickly in Africa. The yellow globe of a tropic moon swims in the purple glow of the African dusk.
Nice.
Near the waterhole, we hear the plaintive cry of the tick-tick bird. Tick, 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 tick. What, as if I didn't know was that?
It's those damn white ducks again.
And now, see, here comes Jumbo the elephant, ready to drink his fill. Thud, thud. But hark, here come the soldier ants. Soldier ants, halt. Soldier ants, present. Oops. Soldier ants, stand at, wait for it. Soldier ants, attend.
Smith, have you taken leave of your senses? Honestly. What's come over him? Now then, it's going to be a hard day tomorrow. I think I shall retire.
Well, it's not for me to comment.
I walked across to my tent and stumbled wearily into Ramona. Ramona, I hear the mission bells above.
Yes.
Ramona.
Septons.
Yes, sir, what?
Septons. At last we're alone together. Oh, cling to me, Septimus.
You cling to your own, Septimus. All that night we bivouacked on the veldt.
Just a minute.
All right, yes, William.
I'm the one to complain, Mr. Orme. This is the last show of the series, and I'm not being given a chance to flower. I want to show my gigantic repertoire.
Yeah. But you play he.
There's another 3 pages of this rubbish before I come in. Let's cut them out. No. For a start, we don't need this scene with the hippopotamus and the trampoline. You'd never get the sound effects right anyway. And this bit, this can go.
Another bit where I play the Victoria Falls. I've been rehearsing in the bathroom for days.
It's out.
Pardon?
Let's get on to my bit. Whereas Hugo Grott, I spread my message among the natives. Let's have a music link. Where's that Max Harris, that great tone-deaf ragamuffin?
Six pages later.
It's pity about Hugo Grott being eaten by drink-sodden termites before he could spread his message through the nation.
Wow, that was my best part.
Ah, it serves you right, too. Anyway, we'd reached the Temple of Aisha, the great white god of whom legend spoke, wise of the wisdom of centuries, all-powerful, all-knowing.
No, here, stop messing about. Here. Now, this is where you get a bit of the real acting. Now, you watch how I move the audience.
Yes, I think they've started moving already.
I am Aisha. I've made myself immortal by standing in the sacred flame. Well, I've made most of myself immortal. All except the little bit that was sticking out.
Your big toe?
Yes. I'm, in fact, 2,000 years old.
Well, 2,000 years old. Give him a big hand. Have you ever had any embarrassing moments?
Mind your own business. Come into my temple, O travellers. I shall introduce you to the guardian of the sacred flame.
How do you do? I am Madame Osiris. I'll bring you many roses and a sudden surprise with my lucky spike.
Yeah. What does the future hold, O wise one?
Well, Pisces, the fish is in a favourable aspect, but you're due for a bit of trouble with your Aries. Your lucky lunch is veal and egg pie, and your lucky flower is self-raising. Cross me palm with 10 quid's worth of silver, and you may ask me 2 questions.
Well, that's a lot of money for 2 questions, isn't it?
Yes. And your second question?
I don't think I'll bother. Now, tell me, Aisha, where exactly is this sacred flame?
It's here, in this sacred oven. You just turn this sacred regulo to gas mark 7 when you fancy adding a few years to your life, see? Then you step in...
At this point, it should be mentioned that I, Douglas Smith, play the sacred flame. I belch out of a crack in the rocks.
You dirty devil.
I'm a pure flame. I don't smoke, and I'm cutting down on the drinking. I bring immortality. I fortify the over 400s.
I turn to Aisha. Oh, immortal one, my name is Septimus Inchmutter.
Wait.
14 stone 3.
Wait, no, wait. No, wait. Who is that glamorous, delectable creature who stands behind you?
McWhirtle, Major McWhirtle.
Not you, you fool. Oh. The bird. Who are you, my dear?
I am Ramona Grott.
Oh, Ramona. Do you not feel that you've lived before? That in the past you and I have known each other?
Many times. Many, many times.
Oh, Ramona, now I've found you again. Come, let me immortalise you.
And so saying, Aisha took her hand and led her into the sacred Douglas Smith. He licked hungrily around them.
Lick, lick, splutter. Plop, plop, plop. Fut.
Fut, Smith?
Gone out, sir. Anyone got a sacred shilling for the sacred slot?
Anyone? Change for a sacred 10-bob note? No? Well, then, that's it, then. Will Betty Marsden get a new lease of life? Will she get Douglas Smith going again? Is Kenneth Williams a doppelganger? Can Hugh Paddick and the two old ladies escape from the locked laboratory? Is Max Harris Anastasia? Are the writers finally cracking up? For the answers to these questions, tune in next week, and much good may it do you. Now, it's traditional at the BBC that when a series ends, nobody takes any notice at all. But this year, news filtered through to the powers that be that the current series of Round the Horn was drawing peacefully to its close. And the controller decided to lay on a buffet. And very good he looked, too. Flanked with truffles and with an apple in his mouth. Everybody connected with the show was invited, and it was indeed a glittering spectacle as the guests mingled in the marble splendour of Broadcasting House's most lavish and well-appointed washroom.
Tsar of all the Russians, Lord of Scoff, Grand Duke of Novgorod and Sovereign of the Circassian Princes, J.P. Smallgrunt Futtock, and his good lady.
Since when have you been Tsar of all the Russias?
Since Tuesday. Oh. Fat Alice at the horse meat shop chanced to let it drop in the middle... of a conversation that the post had fallen vacant, so I elevated myself and adopted the title.
I see, so now you're a despot.
I don't go looking for it.
And what's that you're wearing?
My official garb, which my good lady wife, the Tsarina of all the Russias, Buttercup, ran up for me.
Oh, cheeky face!
Such a row, dear. Yes. Yes, she crocheted it out of a length of tripe.
Yeah, very, very unusual. Well, you'll find the caviar over there.
Oh, tar.
Not at all. Nice service. Thank you very much indeed.
His Grace, the Suffragan Bishop of the Gonga Islands, the Arsenal Supporters Club, Miss Judy Coolibar and Cobber.
Ah, Miss Coolibar herself. Nice to see you. Well, you're the last arrival. Now you're here, we can really get down to it.
What do you mean by that?
Oh, nothing, nothing at all. You're looking very smart, Judy.
It's my going away, Clobber Cobber.
Going away?
Too right I am.
How far are you thinking of going?
Wash your mouth out with soap, dirty beast. Yeah, if you must know, I'm going back to Aussie. I've had enough of you Poms. You're all sex mad and depraved.
Well, not all of us, surely.
No. Do you know how many times I've been molested since I arrived in this country?
Well, no, I don't. How many times have you been molested?
None. How furtive can you get?
Well, bon voyage and a safe didgeridoo, Judy. Well, the other guests seem to be enjoying themselves.
Ah, Fiona, how good to see you. How long has it been?
How long, Charles?
Yes.
Too long, Charles.
And yet, it seems so short.
Since we met?
Since we met. Was it at the bar in the Piccolo Marina in Capri? Was it at the Bursal at Troyes in Paris? Was it in Sardis in New York? The Jockey Club in Rio de Janeiro?
No, Charles.
Where was it then?
The Wimpy Bar, Tufnell Park.
Ah, yes, I remember it well. From the song of the same name. That was where we said goodbye. Oh, where's it gone, Fiona? What's become of it? Is it lost? Irretrievably lost and gone?
Oh, I love Charles. Lost and gone.
Oh, I love Fiona. Is there nothing left between us? Must we write finis on the end of our affair?
We don't have to, Charles. We can start again. It must have been fate that brought us together here. Again, after all these years. Kismet has had a hand in it.
I know.
I know you know.
I know you know, I know.
Yes, I know.
Can we pick up where we left off?
Yes, Charles. Yes.
Oh, darling. Ask me for anything.
Anything?
Yes. Anything.
All right. Waiter. I'll have some turkey, a slice of ham, potato salad, a pickled onion, a stick of celery.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, we are to be entertained by one of England's leading folk singers. But first, here is Rambling Sid Rumble.
Oh, now,
Follow me, dear ears. My song tells of a fabled beast who is said to have ravaged the West Country in the distant past, and the origins of the song go back into the mists of antiquity before the talking pictures come to Polperro. It's called the Ballad of the Loom Bogle's Boom, and goes after this fashion, jauntily, but with a hint of animosity. Oh, list while I tell you of Loom Bogle's Boom, which o'er the West Country caused doubt and great gloom. It wordled the ladies and nadgered the men. Then it galloped right back to its covert again. Tooralay, tooralay, singing tooralay, tooralay, tooralay. Oh, which man will rid us of this awful scourge? The mayor of Polperro did plaintively urge. Then up stood a bogler who suitably greased. Said, I, Rufus Lackwind, will nadger this beast. Tooralay, tooralay, singing tooralay, tooralay, tooralay. Bold Rufus set out for this spot on the heath, where Loom Bogle's Boom, it did dwell underneath. He challenged the creature to a man-to-man duel, but the boom nadgered Rufus, the stupid old fool. Tooralay, tooralay, singing tooralay, oorlay, oorlay. So if any should venture out Exeter way, beware, for the ravening beast still holds sway. Look out for strange creatures, should you meet your doom. It's pretty well sure to be Loom Bogle's Boom. Tooralay, tooralay, 'cause it's pretty well sure to be Loom Bogle's Boom.
Oh, thank you, Rambling Sid. You certainly helped to make the party go. Or at least you thinned it out a bit, anyhow. Now, which of our guests haven't I spoken to? Let's see. I've chatted to her. I've managed to avoid him. I've listened to them. That's everybody, I think. No, wait a minute. Who's that lurking behind that potted palm?
Oh, hello. I'm Julian, and this is my friend Sam.
At about your dolly old Eek again.
Oh, thank you. But why are you hiding? It's not like you two to be shy.
Well,
don't be strange.
It's Jewel, Mr. Orne. Yes. He's worried about his social bloomers.
The elastic gun?
Oh, he bowed. No, you see, Mr. Orne, he done a faux pas once, didn't
yes,
you, Jewel?
I did, yes.
And it's made him nervous in company.
Yes, it has.
Nervous, you see.
The memory of it makes me blush right to the roots of my rye.
Right to the roots.
Yes.
Tell him what it was. Go on, tell him. Tell him what happened.
Oh, I don't lie.
Go on, tell him.
No.
Go on, get it out in the open.
No. No, that, you see, the memory of my contretemps haunts me.
Haunts him, it does.
I feel I can't varder the world in the eek again.
Go on, Jewel, go on.
No.
Unburden yourself.
Now, look, look, look. As this is the last show, don't let's have a boner contention.
Oh. I swear he understands every word we say. Go on, Jewel, go
oh,
on.
Bless
go on, Jewel.
Him.
No, go on.
Well,
go on.
Yeah, all right then. Well, see, it all started on my birthday.
On his birthday it started.
Yes.
That's nice presents, didn't you, Jewel?
Yes,
presents.
I did.
About the presents.
Yes, all right. Well, Jock.
Yeah.
Jock, he gave me a carafe of that new aftershave lotion, Merchant and Venturer.
Merchant.
Yes. And Stan gave me a.
Tell him what I gave. Tell him what I gave.
Give us a chance.
Go on.
Yes.
Put yourself together. Tell him what I gave him.
And Sam gave me a brand new Aristotle bound in Morocco.
Brand new Aristotle it was, bound to Morocco. His old one had got dog-eared. Magnet jewel.
All the corners, yes, it had. I won't go anywhere without my work of Aristotle, will I?
No, he won't, so I'll give him the works.
Yes.
And a tie pin with his initials on in rhinestones. We're in. Now, show him, Jewel.
What?
Show him the tie pin in
rhinestones.
Oh, yeah, very nice, too.
Yes.
I see your initials are JML.
Yes. Julian M. Lestrange.
Oh. What's the M for?
Mango.
You trait! No, he swore he'd never tell.
Yeah. Mango! Mango!
Shut up!
Mango! Yeah. Mango. It's Celtic. It means lovable. Stop titivating yourself. And Julian means youthful, so in full his name means a strange but lovable young man.
Yeah, very appropriate.
Yeah, so you haven't seen the rings on his bark.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's what I give him for his jour de naissance, that's your actual French for birthday. And now comes the crux.
Yes, the crux is coming now.
Yes, tell him what Gordon give you. Tell him what Gordon give you. Go on. Gordon.
Gordon.
Gordon, give me.
Gordon, give me.
A pair
a
of...
A pair.
Come on.
No. Gordon, give me a pair of jockey shorts with pub signs on them.
He did jockey shorts with pub signs on them. Yeah. And now we come to this party.
Yes, it was given my honour.
Given in his honour it
yes,
was given.
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 And, of course, I wanted to look my best, so I give myself a liberal dousing with the Merchant Adventurer, and I put my best suit on.
Over his pants with these pub signs.
Signs. Yeah. So, in he rode up. I should never have done the mashed potato.
That's a dance.
Oh, I wondered, yes.
Yes. Should never have done it, not in these tight trousers.
No, no. So, anyway, cut a long story short, me... me mohair split.
And before you could say Jack Robinson, we was all staring at his prospect of Whitby.
Yes.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, the shame. Oh, the shame of it. It suffused my ache to purple.
It did. And from that day to this, he's never been able to face a gathering.
No.
What a shame.
But it's not, you see, it's not for me so much, I mind, but it's the embarrassment to my wife.
Your wife?
My wife, yes.
Yes, we're both married. Didn't you know?
I'd no idea.
Of course we are. And a more boner pair of Dolly Pallones you've never met. Look here, they come now. Our wives.
Oh, hello, I'm Julie. And this is my friend, Sandra.
Show me your ring.
Wonders will never cease, but for the time being, round the horn will. So, till we meet again, from all of us, it's cheerio!
Cheerio! Cheerio.
That was Round the Horn, starring Kenneth Horne, with Kenneth Williams, Hugh Paddick, and Betty Marsden. The scripts for the series were written by Barry Took, Johnny Mortimer and Brian Cook. The Max Harris Group supplied the music. And I, Douglas Smith, played the announcer. And jolly good I was, too. The series was produced by John Simmons, whose naivety, not to say gullibility, made the whole thing possible.